Paul wrote the churches in Galatia that you reap what you sow. Kind of working through the letter that Paul wrote to these churches of Galatia, a region in kind of central Turkey, what we call modern-day central Turkey anyway. We used to call it Asia Minor. Anyway, you reap what you sow. It's an agricultural image where you put seed in the ground and you sow it, if you will, and it grows and eventually produce a harvest of some sort of grain. Often we harvest the grain or reap that grain. And he used this in the previous chapter, chapter 5, to talk about how we sow to the flesh. That was kind of Paul's way of talking about our sinful human desires getting out of line. He mentioned things like if you sow to your greed or to your lust or to a drunkenness or something like this, that you will end up reaping consequences from that, reaping bad fruit, if you will. He said ultimately you will end up devouring one another. But he said if you sow to the Spirit, to live according to the Spirit of God and what God would lead you to, you will sow another kind of harvest. You will reap, another kind of harvest. You will reap the fruit of the Spirit. And those fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are the really good things of life. They are not just fruit of the Spirit, but positive attributes, blessings for our lives, things we all like. So Paul says, you reap what you sow, and he's aiming for us to sow in ways that produce this kind of fruit, do actions, live our lives in such a way. As I think about this, though, it starts to sound like, hold it, it isn't very gracious. The first chapters, and we preached a number of sermons on those first chapters of the book of Galatians, or the letter of Galatians, and we had this wonderful theology of grace from Paul, which is, you don't reap what you sow. In God, we can sow our weed seeds, so to speak, and God will still love us. God will be there for us. And it makes you kind of wonder, what's going on here with Paul? Is he, changing his tune here at the end? Is he switching things around? Where's the grace? Well, our parable for today that Jesus, our gospel lesson from Jesus' words, is a parable of the rich farmer. Here's a farmer who has a large amount of land, and he has this bumper crop. It's just overwhelming. And he looks around and says, what should I do? He says, well, I got to tear down my old barns. They're too small. Build bigger barns. And then I'll relax. I'll eat. I'll drink. I'll be merry. And I'll have this wonderful life. Isn't this the American dream? To hit a windfall, build your bigger investments or your savings and your bank accounts, and retire. Retire earlier the better. This is it. The dreams come true here. And he's trying to live it out. But God judges him for it. God judges him on his selfishness, if you will, and says your soul's required of you. It doesn't sound very gracious. God didn't kind of bump him to get him to turn his ways. God didn't bring him to some sort of other conclusion to become more generous, but just says, no, it's over for you. And again, this is a pretty common theme in Jesus's teaching. You think of how he taught, don't store up your treasures on earth where rust and moth and thieves can break in and steal. Rather, store up your treasures in heaven. He's reminding us that when we sow to the material world, that at some point, that'll fail us. That will fail us. Well, here's a whole lot of themes running around out here so far, but maybe I can help bring them together. We reap what we sow, Paul wrote. I think Paul isn't talking about our relationship to God here. Paul is talking about our lives here in the world. When he was talking about grace earlier in the book of Galatians, of course, he was talking about our relationship with God. That relationship is just because God has decided to love us, forgive us, call us children, send us his Spirit. I mean, all those good things we get from God in relationship with God, hey, they're ours. We can be at our worst and God will love us. We can take our inheritance early like the prodigal son, go squander it in a far land, and God will still love us. Or we can pile up selfishly in this world, our bigger barns, our bigger accounts, and God will still love us. But what Paul's getting at is our actions in this world have consequences for ourselves and others. That if we live in wrong ways, it's going to affect people. We don't get a pass when we do something wrong in this world. And when we do something right on the other side, good things can happen. I think Paul wrote these words, "You reap what you sow," to encourage the churches in Galatia. It doesn't tell us exactly what's going on there, but it was like they were feeling like they were not getting results. Things weren't coming through the way they expected from their good deeds, from the things they were trying in their lives. And they were becoming discouraged. And Paul wanted to encourage them with these words. You know, you'll reap what you sow. You have to hang in there. It takes some time. And I think that's a word that we could benefit from for ourselves today. For sometimes we too get discouraged. We've tried things as a church. We've tried things as individuals. And it hasn't always worked out. We don't know. And we start getting discouraged because it's not panning out the way we wanted it to. Again, the agricultural image works well. You know, if say you take a corn seed, a lot of corn's planted, say, the beginning of May. You put that seed in the ground, and it's a good about 3 weeks before anything pops up through the ground. Anything green shoots up through the ground, it sprouts up, and in another several months for it to grow big and get ears on it, and to fill out those ears of corn. And finally, it's all the way into October before that corn dries out enough so that you can harvest it. It's not a fast process. In fact, it's not always a sure process. Something like a disease, a hail, a drought could really knock that crop back or even ruin it. So maybe we could modify Paul a little bit and say you tend to reap what you sow. The truth is, most years, the farmers get a good crop. Not every year, but most years. And so it is with us in this world. There's uncertainties out there. Not all our efforts may pan out the way we want, but we tend to reap what we sow in this world. And I think those are really good words for us here as God's people. You know, we've done a lot of efforts doing good works in the world. I think of our efforts for places like KPC Kids Place, and I think of our efforts for the Children's Learning Center or Interfaith Hospitality Network. They're all ways we're trying to help in this community. And if you look around, you don't always see results right away. In fact, you could say, well, we're trying to help with the homelessness, and there's more homeless now than there used to be. Well, yeah, indeed so. Indeed so. But you look back and there's a number of families who've taken our help, who've built up savings to be able to get a place, something to rent, and gotten jobs and gotten their budgets together and are back on their feet self-sufficient. Maybe one of the issues we face here as a church is we don't know how to celebrate. We don't know how to savor the reaping, the harvesting, and the good things that have resulted from that. I think one of the big ways we need to be reminded that we reap what we sow is just for us in our general vitality, our health as a church, a Lutheran church in this time. As I've mentioned, there's some pretty big headwinds from our secular culture, which doesn't have similar values for us. In fact, it sometimes can feel against us, like there's headwinds for us here as God's people. And so doing church isn't as easy, isn't as successful maybe as we might imagine it to be. And for that reason, of course, we're doing long-range planning, which is really about sowing. Figuring out sowing the right seed in the right places. And here's what Paul told the churches in Galatia. So let us not grow weary doing what is right, for we will reap at the harvest time if we don't give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, especially those of the family of faith. So here he is telling them to have some patience, basically, and keep going, but also to take advantage of opportunities. And I think for us as a church, that's really where we're at. We're looking for those new opportunities, things that'll work in this context, in this current time. And for that, we're bringing in a consultant. We're thinking about these things to find our way. You know, around 100 years ago, a man donated $100,000 to start a college in Liberia, Africa. He was an investment guy, and he had obviously made a lot of money. $100,000 100 years ago was a lot of money. Anyway, the college took the money, the people took the money and got this college going. It was doing pretty well. What happened to this man, though, is that stock market crash in 1929 wiped him out, left him in poverty and in Chicago in a small house. Well, they came up to an anniversary for this college in Liberia, and they wanted the man who donated the money and started the college to come and be a part of that. But he wouldn't listen to him. He wouldn't hear him for a while. Finally, they got through and convinced him to come to Africa for their celebration. So he gets over there. He's sitting on the dais up there in the front next to the college president. And out before him is hundreds of students at this college. And he turned to the college president, seeing this amazing thing of this flourishing college, and he said this: "You know, the only thing I've kept is that which I've given away. The only thing I've kept is what I've given away." Paul wanted his people in Galatia to sow in the Spirit of God and reap the fruit of the Spirit. Here's a man who didn't even realize what he was doing. He invested in other people, a very loving act. And it was finally much later, and with some reluctance, that he got there and was able to, if you will, reap the harvest for himself. I can't help but imagine him moved in his soul as he looked out in there and realized his life did do something really impressively good. Changed the lives of others. You know, for us as God's people here, it is our hope that as we sow, we will reap too. Reap in its time. It may not be as immediate as we want or as fantastic as we want, but at some point, isn't the richness of life those things that come from the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit are these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those are what make life rich and deep. Those are the things, I think, that we all dream to have a harvest of in our lives. We will reap what we sow. We will. And I hope you take courage from that for this next week or this next section of your life, to not give up too easily, but hang in there. For indeed, you will reap what you sow in this world. Amen.